Our next topic is very, very important to all of us who litigate and prosecute. We're going to have a Section 101 review. Our next speaker is Andrew Saul. Please give him a warm welcome. He's all the way from Atlanta, Georgia. He is at Kilpatrick Townsend. There's a co-author on this paper, my good friend Steve Borgman, but I was instructed not to introduce him because he doesn't deserve any credit. So as with all the old guys, we're best when we stay out of the way. So please welcome Andrew.
Good morning. I gave this presentation virtually last year from Atlanta, so it's great to be with you. Thank you for having me. Who's ready for lunch? Today we are gonna have some birthday cake before lunch because Alice turns 10 years old. Alice was decided in June 2014, so just this past June. Unfortunately, she is just as confusing as ever. As the late, great Yogi Berra said, it's truly deja vu all over again with respect to Alice. We're seeing the same sort of trends as far as results on appeals of 101 motions to dismiss the Federal Circuit, and we're continuing to be deprived of any clarity from the Supreme Court on Alice. Generally today, go over a selection of Section 101 appeals in the Federal Circuit. We saw 19 appeals in the Federal Circuit in 2024 year to date. Some recent USPTO Section 101 guidance that was issued. Some Section 101 statistics. Some proposed legislation. A lot of you have probably heard of the Patent Eligibility Restoration Act of 23. We'll close with some practice tips and then what we at Kilpatrick call the judge's scorecard. So I think, again, Yogi Berra could have been speaking for the Federal Circuit here when he said, I wish I had an answer to that, what's patentable, because I'm tired of answering that question. The first case I thought was relatively interesting was the Plotograph v. Lightrix case from January 2024. This is a case involving a patent directed to a computer programming product comprising your typical components that, quote, perform a method for automating a shifting of pixels within an image file. And then you got a number of steps there, receiving a first indication of a first starting point. Basically, these are vectors, and you're moving pixels according to vectors in an image file. Below, of course, the Section 101 motion was granted. The claims were held invalid, and the Federal Circuit affirmed. So this is a trend you're going to see across the 19 cases. The Federal Circuit is affirming the invalidation below. At step one, the court wrote, considered as a whole in the context of the spec, the claims of the asserted patents are directed to changing the positions of components in an image to create the appearance of movement, i.e. animation, which is clearly an abstract idea that is directly tethered to the claim language. I always think it's funny when you see a court say clearly. I guess the court knows it when it sees it here. Performing animation in the realm of computers where the components that are moved are pixels does not render the claim any less abstract. And then at step two, Plotograph, the patent owner attempted to point to four features of the patents it alleged supplied an inventive concept: the use of paths or digital links, starting and ending points, nonlinear paths, masks, edges, anchor points. The Federal Circuit didn't buy it, found that each of the four features appear to be features inherent in non-automated computer animation. Each is a parameter defined by a user through conventional user interface tools specified at a high level of generality. So, claims dead there. And I thought it would be interesting to compare the Plotograph claim to the claim that was was at issue in the MacRow case. Some of you might have heard of MacRow. It was a 2016 Federal Circuit case where the Federal Circuit reversed a finding of invalidity below. I think these claims are quite similar. The MacRow claim is all about synchronizing facial expressions animating lip synchronization and facial expressions of three-dimensional characters.